The Bible says, and this word will speak to all of us today, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. The King James Version says, we will reap in due season if we do not quit. And so today, I'm talking about that, the due season, just the right time. And it comes to each of us if we just don't quit before it gets here. Last Sunday morning, I talked about every member matters and how important each member in the body is. Some may look more prominent, but they're really not. Every member is equal in significance and importance and purpose. We are gifted differently. Your gift is different than mine. None of us are duplicates of the other, but each one of us is very important, and God has tremendous value invested in every single member. Every member has value, even if it's hidden for a while and undiscovered to date. It's still there. Last Sunday, and I'll review briefly, and then we'll move on to part two today. The Bible says God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. And He has given each member the ability to do certain things well. Remember last week I held up a bolt. It was just a small little bolt. Some of you perhaps couldn't see it from way back there. And it would look significant. I would think I could live my entire life without this bolt. I don't need it. It's not good for anything in the scheme of things in my life. But I told you the story how that one bolt was not securely fastened in its place. And because of it, an accident occurred on the highway and destroyed a van, a trailer, and a brand new lawnmower. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But when you look at that one little single part, you would think it's not important. We can do without it. But no, God sees value in every single part. Value even that may not be revealed just yet. Also, I held up this book last week for the missionaries who were in another nation. I'll review it for your benefit, but I told you how my daughter said at the house a week or so ago, I've been trying to get this book from the library. There's 35 people in line on a list at the library to check it out before me. She said, for months I've been looking for this book. And I said, well, why don't you get it off of Amazon? Well, one book cost $800. I think the cheapest she saw was $150, $160. I said, what kind of book is that? And she told me the name of it, and I said, I think I got that book. And I came and checked in my bookshelf in the office, and sure enough, that book was there, and here it is. And this book right here, printed in 1992. It's out of print now and is so popular that people are trying to sell them for $800. Mine's in mint condition. And all these years since 1992, I've had something valuable. I didn't know the value of it. I had forgotten I even had it. I had to go searching for it when I really wanted it. Something so valuable on a shelf, hidden away. And that's the way some of us are. So valuable, yet our value has not been discovered yet. It's like we've been on a shelf and the value in us has been hidden. But God, in this season, your due season, just the right time for your life, He's reaching up on the shelf and He's getting a hold of some of you, and He's pulling you down. Now, hey, you're still in mint condition, and you qualify for God to use you. God does not use me because I'm perfect. If God waited to use perfect people, He would never use any of us. Today, I brought an eagle out of my office. I have an eclectic office. This is the first eagle in my collection. I have dozens now, but this eagle I discovered in Moscow, my first trip there. And the last day of that trip, we had a free day, and we went to Arbat Street. You can Google it. It's amazing. Arbat Street in Moscow. It's a famous pedestrian street where people can buy souvenirs, and it's tourism galore. And so our group walked down Arbat Street in Moscow, and I thought, well, I want to take something home as a souvenir from Moscow. And I saw this. I paid $3 for this boat. It was used at the time, and a beautiful eagle, hand-carved out of wood, and the wings detached so it was easy to pack. And $3 for this beautiful souvenir of Russia. And it being an eagle just connected with me because I was over there in Russia, but the eagle is our national symbol for freedom and liberty. And so for $3, I brought an eagle back. And that began a collection. People have given me eagles. I have gorgeous eagles, even one that was commissioned to be carved for me. I'm an eagle. I have an eagle's nest in my office, you might say. But the thing I want to bring out is this was nothing but an old piece of wood. And most people would have looked at an old piece of wood and said, it's ready for the fire. It's good for nothing. That's an ugly thing, and there's no use for it. I can live without it. It's not important. Nothing good can ever come of it. I can't use that old piece of wood for anything good. But somebody saw an eagle inside that old piece of wood and went to work with a chisel and carved a beautiful eagle out of what would have been a throwaway piece of wood. And God sees something in us that nobody else does, many times that we don't even see in ourselves. I told you last week how that Andrew, if he had only done one thing in his life, just one thing, he did something great when he went and got his own brother Simon and brought Simon to Jesus. And so much after that is history. And then I mentioned that Jesus looked at Simon and said two things. You are Simon, which means shifty, unstable, undependable. The second thing he said, but you shall be Cephas or Peter, which means solid as a rock, very stable and most dependable. So Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are, but you shall be. And God sees what you are, and he also sees what you can become. God sees what you are right now, and yet when he looks at you, it's like the master carpenter looking at an old piece of wood. He can see the old piece of wood, of course, but he can also see the beautiful eagle trapped inside, and he knows what to do to bring the beauty out. God sees what you are, and he also sees what you can become. God sees what you are right now, and then at the same time, God sees another you. And when it's your due season, this other you is pulled down in mint condition from the shelf, and God says, I've held you in reserve for this moment. This is a new season. This is a due season, and you are another you now. God sees what you are right now, but he also sees what you can become. And God made such a difference in Simon's life, said, I'm going to change your name. Now, not many of us change our names. Some do. Probably one of the most famous modern-day people who have changed their names was Dr. Paul Yong-Yi Cho, who changed his name from Paul to David many years ago. He is 79 years old now, and he is the pastor of the world's largest church, over 1 million people in Seoul, South Korea. Over 1 million people in that church. I've met him two or three times. I watched him. I was off camera watching him being interviewed by a secular newspaper, and he was at a convention, and a lot of people were, but I guess he stood up because he was the pastor of the world's largest church, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. But God did something yet again so impactful in his life many years into his ministry that he officially changed his name from Paul to David. I don't know what happened, but it must have been significant. You know, sometimes God reaches up on the shelf and puts his hand on us and pulls us out of hiding and reveals the gift he has invested in us that had been undiscovered until he touched us in a fresh way. And when he touches us in a fresh way and we become another you, sometimes it's so tremendous that we need a new name. Your name was Simon, but you shall be Peter. Your name was Jacob. Then the finger of God touched Jacob. Just his finger touched Jacob. Marked his life forever. And God said, oh, I see what you are, Jacob. You're a deceiver, a cheater, and a liar. I see what you are. But I see what you can become. I'm going to call you Israel, Prince of God. Gave him a new name. From Jacob to Israel. He did it with Abraham. He was Abram, just Abram. And God showed up and did such a great work in his life, changed his name. A new name came. I mean, talk about a new season and your due season and another you. A new name sometimes comes with it. And then, of course, in the New Testament, there was Saul. He was a terrorist. He was, in his day, the Osama bin Laden, persecuting and killing people who called on the name of the Lord. He would raid their prayer meetings and kill them. He had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road. Remember that? Such a difference that one touch from God made in his life. God said, your new name now is going to be Paul. All of them stepped into a due season. It may seem like it will never get here, but God says, if you just won't quit, there is a due season, and you will reap a harvest if you just don't quit. Perhaps somebody's here today that needs to hear that, that you've been tempted just to give up and just walk away and throw in the towel, resign or quit, just throw up your hands and walk away from it altogether. But God said, no, there's a due season. You will certainly reap. Just don't quit before your due season arrives. Now, I remember reading from She Magazine last week. Well, I need to quit reading so much She Magazine. I got another article to share with you this week. But this is in the August issue of She Magazine. It's a feature story on a lady I do not know. Her name is Lakeisha Reed. And the subtitle under her name is Fulfilling a Lifelong Dream. And she tells her life story. She's 36 now and in a great place. She's in her due season now, but it hasn't always been. She had opportunities to quit and give up before God reached up on a shelf and pulled her out of hiding and revealed her gift to her world. And she said a part of her journey was this. She said, I dreamed of going back to college, but I wasn't sure how I could handle being a student, a mother, and still working a full-time job. I thought, my God, that's three things right there. Three things on her plate right there, all of them huge. She said, I didn't give up. And then she closes her article by saying this, make your dreams come true. One day, all your hard work will pay off and your dreams will become reality. You might have to dance through some rain, but I promise it will all be worth it in the end. I'm chasing after my dreams and loving it. Here's a lady who finally has a due season after years of hard work, and she said she had to dance through a lot of rain. So on rainy days, put on your dancing shoes. Do what you got to do. Just don't quit. Don't stop short. You hang on until your due season. Now, many people think that you're not qualified for God to use you. I go through a ritual. Of course, I always try to be available for God to use me. I'm always on call, and so are you. I'm always. God can always. He can change your route. You think you're going from point A to point B. He may take you to another place altogether. And so you're always on call. But on a Sunday morning doing praise and worship, I'm standing over there just like you are, and I'm worshiping just like you are. And during that time, I intentionally and consciously and mentally and spiritually make myself available. And I say, Lord, use me. I'm available. And all of us have to be there. I can't wait till I'm perfect. Believe me. And neither can you. God uses imperfect people. I'll ask you a question. If you were God, would you use you? Is it too early for you? If you were God, would you use you? Well, most of us would not, but we're not God. He can look at an old piece of wood and say, I see what you are, but I see the eagle inside you. And I also see another you. I see what you can become. And so your due season is on the way. Just don't quit before it gets here. Your due season is God's set time for your favor. Every year I go through this ritual because my wife loves peaches. And who doesn't love a pretty peach? And a mile or two from our house is this place that sells peaches and fireworks. Peaches and fireworks. It's located right along the interstate, easy exit. And so everybody going up and down Interstate 95, they see the signs, you know, peaches and fireworks. I think they stop for the fireworks more than the peaches. And so, but we live close to it, so I'll go in there, and they know me there. I'll do it every spring. It'll warm up. I'm thinking, well, it's about time for the peaches. And I'll go in down there at Abbott's Farm, and I'll say to the ladies, y'all don't have any peaches yet? And they say, no, not yet, because peaches are not in season yet. And I'll say, well, when are you going to get some peaches? Third week of May. They'll tell you when it's going to be. They're due season. Peach season starts at the third week of May. And I learned some things about peaches. I don't know why I'd even, share this information with you, but you can buy them by the quarter peck, the half peck, the peck. And it takes four pecks to make a bushel. You remember Peter Piper picked a peck? Peck is a real thing. You can buy them by the peck. So now they're in season. And hey, if you want peaches, they're in season. How sad it is to go to the peach store wanting peaches and they're not in season. Some of us have been that way. Some of us, it's not been our season yet. God has some things ahead for us that we've not even dreamed of yet. Dormant, the gift has been. Undiscovered, hidden, but value there nonetheless. Hundreds of dollars. Anybody want to buy my book? Mint condition. Nobody used it yet. Hadn't been touched that much at all. That's the way some of us are. Hidden on a shelf, but God's saying due season. I'm going to my shelf now, and I'm going to pick out some valuable things that have been hidden, and I'm going to stir, and I'm going to reveal some hidden value. I remember when we lived in L.A., and I was a younger man then, and every day was exciting, and, oh, every day above ground is wonderful. But back in that day, I knew God was saying something fresh to me, and I knew He was going to do something new in me, and I knew there were greater things ahead for me, and I didn't know what. So I was thinking, every day might be my day. Just any day now, my day. I'm getting ready to step into my due season just any day. Could be today. And somebody invited me to a Christian businessman's breakfast on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock at a restaurant in a private room, and it was a pretty big deal. There were a lot of people there. And I thought, well, I'm believing God's going to discover me maybe today. So I'm going to go. This might be it. I may be discovered today. So instead of sleeping in on that Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, I was downtown L.A. at this restaurant where Christian businessmen got together for breakfast on Saturday. And somebody that I knew, a friend of mine named Barney, he was at that breakfast too. And Barney had been starting up a ministry. And it was feeding the hungry, and he bought a lunch truck, an old lunch truck, which out there is real popular. I think you see them here a little bit too, but the truck just pulls up and parks and opens up the side, and there's like a little cafe. And so he would give free soup and free sandwiches to hungry. He would go to where the homeless people live and honk his horn, had "Jesus loves you" written on the lunch truck. "Jesus loves you." Barney was there that day. And so we're eating breakfast, and I'm thinking, oh, today's the day people are going to discover me. We sat there, and my heart skips a beat about every time I hear. I was chomping at the bits, and I heard the conversation in the room go like this. I've never seen that truck out there. Did y'all see a truck that said "Jesus loves you" written on the side of it? And somebody said, well, I did see it, but I don't know where that came from. And Barney spoke up and said, that's my truck. And lo and behold, I sat there while I thought it was my due season, it was my day. I thought it was going to be my day. And I watched the promotion of God on Barney. Barney went from way down there at the back of the room when they found out it was his truck. They brought him right on up and let him speak that morning. And I'm sitting there so disappointed because I thought it was my turn. But I watched the promotion of God on somebody else. And still to this day, he has a wonderful ministry feeding the homeless, and he has many lunch trucks now with "Jesus loves you" written on the side of it. But I saw how God, when it's your due season, he'll take you from the back and put you right up here and give you the platform. You just don't quit until your season gets here. Now, when your season is delayed, that's a test. I want to tell you, God uses promotions. God uses breakthroughs. God uses victories to get us where He wants us to go. But God also uses disappointments, betrayals, persecutions, and failure to get us where He wants us. That's not a popular message, but God will use it. Paul, in the New Testament, said, in my life and in my ministry, I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I've spent a day and the night out in the open ocean without a ship, just drifting on the sea. I've been beaten 195 times, stripes on my back by the Roman legal system that was persecuting me. He said, I've been hungry. I've been cold because I didn't have sufficient clothes to wear sometimes. I've been robbed. I've been in danger in my travels. And he said, in addition to all these things that I've been through, while I've been serving God, I've carried the weight of the concern I have for the welfare of the churches God's entrusted to me. And then he said, but this is such a light affliction. Now, if I'd been through all that, I'd be saying, oh, that's a heavy burden to carry. But he said, no, that's just, he called it a light affliction. And he said, it's only temporary. And here's what he said. This light affliction is working for me. He did not say, look what all I've had working against me. No, all that heavy stuff, he said, that's a light affliction. And it's working for me. Opposition does not set us back. It sets us up and prepares us for a due season. We just don't need to quit. I'm telling you, a lot of doors have opened for me in my life. But I would not be where I am today if it had not been for closed doors. You need to thank God for closing some doors that only He could have closed. Doors I thought, well, this is my door. This is my time. This is my door. And He closed it. When I was 21 years old, searching for direction and the will of God for my life, I had an opportunity to go to work for one of the world's largest ministries. On TV in every nation, he would go into a nation and not only preach the gospel to massive crowds of like 100,000 people outdoors, and music and preaching, he would also build school buildings and feed the children and teach them how to read and write and how to trust Jesus. I mean, he had a handle on world evangelism. Jimmy Swaggart was his name. And back in that day, he had his own private jet, and one of my best friends, in fact, the best man in my wedding, worked for him, flew on his private jet with him, and called me and said, Carl, Jimmy is looking for a sound tech, and I thought of you. Would you like to interview for the job? I said, well, what does it mean? Well, you get to fly all over the world with Jimmy. You get to fly on his jet with him. And, you know, you go all over these big cities and you see tremendous things. And he's the biggest of the biggest. And I said, oh, yes, I'd like that. Give me some of that. So I went and spent 3 days at one of his crusades as the sidekick to his sound tech. I mean, it was a huge board, bigger than a recording studio, and thousands of people, and this was an indoor coliseum. It was packed for 3 nights, and I did such a good job. I mean, I'm good at that. I was. And his people said to me, we're going to make a decision in the next 2 weeks, and you did great. You did a great job. And so you will be hearing from us. I'm 21. And looking for a break, looking for a door to open. And I just knew it was mine. I was packing. I just knew I'm moving to Baton Rouge, which is where the jet stays when they're not somewhere else. That's the headquarters. And I got a call 2 weeks later from his son, Donnie Swaggart, and said, Carl, I'm calling to tell you, my brother, we have hired somebody else. Now, you were good. In fact, you were just as good as the man we hired. The only difference is, in addition to being good, he has a degree in sound engineering, and so that tipped the scale in his favor. So I'm calling to tell you we have declined hiring you. We've made a decision for somebody else. And I thought my world had fallen apart. Now, I could have gotten bitter at God, but I really didn't. You know, it's easier to trust God than some people. I don't know what the deal is. Some people, I can't trust God. Hey, please. He don't make it that hard. Yes, you can. You better. Of course you can. So I didn't gripe and belly. I was disappointed. Yeah, it's real life. I was disappointed. That door was closed for me. But I wouldn't be where I am today if that door had opened. I don't know where I would be today. Certainly not here. So I've had a lot of doors opened for me in my life. But I wouldn't be where I am if it were not for closed doors too. And God orchestrates closed doors. And some of life's greatest blessings are unanswered prayers. And one day we will see God's wisdom in it all. And sometimes an enemy. While you're waiting on a due season, while you're waiting and your time has not yet come, while you're still on the shelf and you know I got some value, nobody recognizes you, sometimes an enemy is just what we need. David had an enemy. That's what catapulted him from obscurity into the forefront of Israel's history. Still the greatest king Israel ever had. And when Jesus showed up, he sat on the throne of David. Jerusalem is called the city of David. And when David was anointed, he was just a boy. And this is the thing I love about Old Testament anointing. Now, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't trade the New Testament anointing for the old. The new covenant is a better covenant, Hebrews says. And it's an everlasting covenant. We will never need to trade this covenant in for a new model. This is the best one. And I love the New Testament anointing. I enjoy that. But the one thing about the Old Testament anointing is, in the Old Testament, when you were anointed, you knew you were anointed. You remember. Some people in the New Testament live beneath that privilege. Some people in the New Testament don't remember if they ever were, and if they were, they don't remember when, and they don't remember much about it, and it's easy to question, well, if I ever was, or am I really or not? Oh, no, no. Get in the Word and get a handle on the anointing God has available for New Testament believers. But in the Old Testament, they poured a bucket of oil all over your head. When you were anointed in the Old Testament, you knew it. You remembered it. You could always recall the day when you received an anointing. And David received his anointing as a boy and went right back out in the fields. And he did what he needed to do. And so sometimes we don't do what the Word says. The Word says, let's not get tired of doing what's good, what's right. I mean, just do the right thing. Do what's good. And don't give up, because at the right time, the Bible says at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we just don't give up. David was promoted by an enemy, by a giant. A giant got in his way. He took care of the giant, and he became David after that. And then Joseph was called by God, had purpose in his life. Nobody could see the value in his life, even his own brothers. They were jealous of him and thought they could do without him, that he was that insignificant to their life. And because of their betrayal, his own brothers, he spent 20 years of his life in a pit, in a prison, and all that value in him. You would think it's wasted years, 20 years wasted. Was that a setback for him? No. God was setting him up for his due season. And when the time came, when it was just the right time, God knows how to get you from the back of the room to the front table when he's ready for you, when it's your due season. And that's what happened to Joseph. 400 years under Egypt's oppression, God's people suffered like slaves under Pharaoh. 400 years. And it got worse before it got better. Before their due season, where God led them out, it got worse. Toward the end, Pharaoh's heart was hardened even more. And you would think, the devil has hardened Pharaoh's heart. But no, God said, I have hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? Because it wasn't just the right time yet. God has a due season for all of his people. And so our part is to do what's good and do what's right until our due season arrives. Do everything you have to do, just don't quit. In the New Testament, there was a man that was paralyzed for 38 years. I read the story again this morning. I won't read all of it to you, but a few things stood out again. 38 years he was paralyzed and laying beside a pool. Imagine being that close to something beautiful for that long and you couldn't enjoy it. Every day there's that pool, other people in and out, but you can't even enjoy it. For 38 years, paralyzed. And his only hope was once a year, an angel would come down and trouble the water, as Pastor Chris talked about this morning. And the first person that could get in the pool when the water was troubled would become whole, would be healed. And he never could get himself off of his bed, even though it was poolside, into the water. And Jesus walked up to him one day, and this is what struck me this morning, and saw him in that condition and asked him a question. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Well, now, isn't that a crazy question? 38 years lying paralyzed on the ground, and Jesus walks in and asks a ridiculous question. Do you want to be made whole? And his answer was interesting, because there are some people who really aren't sure they want to be. It does come with some perks, some may think. A little benefit every now and then. So I don't think I want to be doing much better than I am right now, because I got it all right like this. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? And he said, he started whining and complaining. I could hear it in today's vernacular. I could hear it. Well, I never have any man to help me. Nobody helps me get in the pool when the water is troubled. 38 years I've laid here like this, and nobody, he said, I don't have anybody helping me out. Now, that's a whine. And in the middle of all that, though, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And he did. And Jesus will show up even when you're that close to quitting. You may be whining today. Well, I don't have anybody to help me. I know there's value in here. Nobody else has ever seen it. I think there's some in here, but I'm on a shelf, been there. Nobody said, God, I've not felt the hand of God touch me in so long. I don't even know why I'm here, for nobody helps me out. Jesus will say, when it's your due season, he'll show up. And then I'll close with this. A woman in the New Testament had an infirmity, a blood disease, bleeding for 12 years. And I read that account again fresh this morning. She was a little different than the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. This woman sick for 12 years, and the Bible said she had gone to all the doctors and she had spent all the money she had during those 12 years under doctor's care. Now, that to me says, do what's right, do what you can. And our verse this morning, Galatians 6:9, don't get tired of doing what's good. I mean, during those 12 years, she did the right thing. She went to doctors, she invested her money, she spent all she had trying to get help. But she only got worse after 12 years. But she said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Some of us have the habit of saying the wrong things to ourselves. She said to herself, if I can get just close enough to touch his clothes, I shall be healed. Now, until her due season, what was she doing? She kept doing what was good. She did what she could. She did what was good and what was right. She went to the doctor. She did everything she could. She was not a quitter. But she said the right thing to herself, if I can only touch. And then she did. She got in that crowd and came up from behind Jesus. He didn't see her in his natural vision. And she touched him, just the tip of his garment, and immediately was healed. And Jesus stopped what he was doing and said, "Who just touched me?" Wouldn't you like to be that person? Who just touched me? And his disciples said, "Well, Lord, this crowd of people, a lot of people have touched you." And he said, "No, this was different." Some of you need to touch him differently. A lot of people in that crowd bumping in to Jesus. It's one thing to be in the crowd that bumps into him. It's another thing to be the one that touches him. And she got exactly what she needed. And here's my final point. She was at the right place at the right time. And she was in the right frame of mind. She had already been telling her own self, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. Not a quitter, but she hung in there. She believed her due season would come, and it did in God's time. She was at the right place at the right time in the right frame of mind. Two out of those three are not enough. It takes all three. The right place, the right time, and the right frame of mind. There's a couple in our church that I met with a couple of months ago, and they were going through it. I won't call any names because more than one couple going through probably the same thing, but the enemy was at work in their family and especially with children, and it was not a pleasant thing, and there was a broken relationship. It was very painful, and we talked for an hour, and we prayed together and trusted God, just trusted him with it. And about a month later, I asked this couple, said, "Any change at all?" And the wife said, "No, not a change that we can see in the world. But we're doing nothing but praying about it." And they were relieved that that was their posture. And a week or so ago, got word from this couple that God had shown up in their family. Apologies were given. Healing occurred. Reconciliation. And God had come through. But it may not have happened if they had quit before the due season arrived. I remember what it was like in the early days of our church ministry. I worked during the day full-time in the insurance business while starting a church and pastoring a church and waiting on some of you to get here. And the most discouraging statement anybody can ever make begins with the words, "I would have thought by now." You know, 6 months into our church, or 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years into our church, "I would have thought by now." But no, it wasn't according to my timeline. Now, I'm glad after 31 years, I didn't quit. You didn't quit. The Lord told us in the early days, if you will accept the people no other church wants, I will send you the people every other church wants. So we've been doing that all these years, and look around. You're the people that every church in town would want. And you finally, but hey, it's all about season. You're always in a season, and it's not always your due season. But wait for it. David, the psalmist, expected God's favor on his life. Even before his due season, he expected. He would write little poems and sing songs to the Lord. And one of those, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days." He expected God's favor. So even before your due season, go ahead and expect God's goodness to fall on you, and he knows exactly when your season is. If you receive it, say amen. Stand if you will. Everybody stand.